And we bless the Lord tonight, and we thank God for all he's doing, and we thank God for being such a good God. How many know God is a God of mercy? How many know God is a God of mercy? Mercy means you ought to get judgment. But God looked at us through his divine love. He said, instead of me giving you judgment, I'm going to give you mercy. I'm so glad that God is a God of mercy. I'm so glad that God is not a man. Amen. Because man, a lot of times we get upset and we want to exact our own revenge. But God is such a merciful God. And even when we should get judgment, God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look beyond all your faults. And I'm going to feel your needs. Anybody know God is a need-filling God that looks beyond all of our faults? Hallelujah. The Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentation that his mercies are new every morning, and great is God. Hallelujah. Man might not be faithful. Man may let you down. But it said great is his faithfulness. Anybody know God is a faithful God? Truly, we thank God for everything he's doing. Thank God he continues to bless my wife with health and strength. Amen. And just being able to help others. Amen. Now, one thing I can't say in her defense is when she was down, she was still going to the hospital and trying to help others. Amen. And we just thank God for that. We thank God for all of you. All of you give yourselves a hand praise. Hallelujah, but you thought it not robbery to be in the house of God, so we thank God for that, amen?
Jesus, yes.
Now, Sunday we went over the real you. Everybody remember that? The real you.
Yeah.
The real you is not what we see or what we think. The real you is what God sees. That's the real you, amen? And we did go over in Luke, the 16th chapter, 15th verse. It said, men justify themselves, but God knows your heart. We try to justify ourselves, but God knows our heart. And then God knowing our heart, the Bible says that we cannot fool God. So tonight we're going to continue on that thought. And if we were to have a subject to our message tonight, is you can't impress God. You can't impress God. Amen. And as I was preparing this, it reminded me of a time that we were at the hospital praying for someone. There was a group of ministers at the hospital praying for someone, and then some more ministers walked in as they were praying. And as you prayed for the person, they were praying just a regular prayer. And this, you know, it's amazing how God can bring you back to your memory something that happened almost 15 or 20 years ago. But they were praying just a regular prayer. When the other ministers walked in, all of a sudden the anointing got on. They were just praying, God heal, God. Then walked in, whoa! So that's the truth. And I didn't pay no attention because I wasn't there for the first prayer. But after we left, some of the people in the room said, wow, you all brought in a new anointing. They said, because before you came, they were just praying. But after you came, all of a sudden there was a higher prayer. You know what? We don't want to get in the habit of trying to impress people. You know, so that's what we're going to deal with tonight.
Thank you.
It's more important to be real with God than trying to impress people. Can we say amen? With that in mind, let us turn to John, the 12th chapter. We will go over a couple of the verses that we went over on Sunday. And for the sake of clarity, we will attempt to pronounce all of our scriptures. That's a private joke, y'all. That's a private joke. Amen. But John, the 12th chapter, and we're going to read verses 42 and 43. Don't try to impress people. Can we all stand? Don't try to impress people. You know what? God knows your heart. And as we said on Sunday, many times we try to impress people And everybody look at us on the outside and say, you're all right. But this body is not the real us. The real us is our soul. And that's what God looks at, amen? So the 12th chapter, verse 42, can we all have it? Do we all have it? I'm going to read just these two verses of scripture, okay? Verse 42 reads, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And the Lord added us to the reading of his word, and the church said,
word of the Lord,
amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So this is the Lord himself saying, speaking. He said, many of them believed. John writes that many believed, but they would not openly confess him for fear of what they might lose. That ain't real. Anytime we're governed by the fear of what we might lose, or feel as though we might lose some reciprocity for things, that is not true salvation. That salvation is a calculated risk. I calculate the guess, well, if I do this, I'm going to lose that. When the Bible lets us know that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with what? All our hearts, all of our souls, all of our mind, all of our might, and all of our strength. That covers everything. We're supposed to love who? The Lord with all. Well, the Pharisees, many of them believe, many of them, not the Pharisees, even though Nicodemus was a Pharisee, he secretly served Jesus until his death. But many believed, but they would not openly confess him for fear of what they might lose. Then verse 43 said, for they love the praise of men. They want this praise of men, meaning they wanted to have a good reputation in the eyes of men. Praise of men, they want, mean they wanted to have a good reputation in the eyes of men. But it said they love the praises of men more than the praise of God. As a church, in our personal life and individual life, serving and pleasing God should always be first. Serving and pleasing God should always be first. But as it was in the days of Jesus, so it is today. Most time people are just trying to please men, even at the sake of going contrary to God, and then said, I am in church. To be a Christian means we follow who?
Christ.
It means to be Christ-like. It amazes me how people can be Christ-like, but act in an un-Christ manner. How can you be like Christ when you act contrary to Christ, but you claim to be saved? Amen? Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 and verses 16 through 18. But our focus is on tonight, our praise, our worship, our prayer, our coming to church. Why do we do it? Is it because we love God and we want to give God our all? Or are we doing it just to please people? Why do we come? Why do we do what we do? Is it out of a love for God? Or is it out of a need or desire to have a good reputation in the eyes of man? God looks beyond our outward. God looks beyond all of our words. And we're going to go a little later. Even some people fast, they pray, they're so sincere, but it's not for God. It's just to be seen. Amen? Matthew 6, verse 1. Now, I'm not trying to step on nobody's toes, but I want y'all to be real, right? Anybody can be a hypocrite. Anybody can go through the motions. But I don't want to live 40, I've been saved almost 40 years. I don't want to just try to impress you and lose out with God. And I'm afraid that's why so many people are messed up now, because of, you know, I don't make a big to-do about money. Right, if I told y'all how much I got paid, y'all would be like the banker when I went to get to church. He's like, impossible. Nobody can build a plan, so I ain't gonna go in there. Right? So I'm gonna focus on all that body stuff, getting this, getting that. You know what the most important thing is? Your soul. My soul. Right? The book Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. He said, all these other things will lead. He said, but when you act contrary to that, you're acting like the Gentile or the unsaved. So when you focus on all of the other stuff and forget about righteousness, Jesus said you're acting unsaved. So I don't worry about money, I don't talk about money, and every time one of those little committees come up, I ain't gonna mention the name, I just have problems with that committee. Because we just want to do what pleases God. You know what? Money is, you know what the scripture said? The money is going to perish with the using. You brought nothing into this world, and you certainly ain't going to take anything out. The only thing that we have that we're responsible and accountable for is our soul. But let's go into the scripture. Amen. Verse 1 reads, of Matthew 6. Do we all have it? If you don't have it, we know where it is at? On the screen. Verse 1 reads, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Don't keep trying to impress people.
Yes.
Jesus said, now, you're doing all of these good deeds. You're doing this. You visit people in the hospital if you want to do alms. Somebody's in need. You know, people today don't like to do secret things. Yeah, it's like, well, this person in need, oh, I'm going to give you $500. Jesus said, wait a minute. Why you gotta announce what you're doing? You know, I read this. It's a scripture in the Bible. This is a scripture in the Bible. It says this. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand. You know, I read this scripture. It's in there. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand knows. So every time you do something, you don't have to go and broadcast it. You know, somebody said, well,
God bless us. We got 50 people saved in our church.
What's that all about? The praise ought to be to who?
God.
So we ain't got nobody saved. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Right? So we don't do anything, but people, when they're trying to impress, will always put what they do out first. Well, Jesus said, even when you do a kind deed, don't do it to be seen. Do it just out of the kindness and goodness of your heart, not to be seen, amen? He said, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in. Amen. So when you do it for men, you already got your reward. He said, so don't do what you do. Well, even if it's a kind deed, if you do something exceptional for somebody, somebody broke down, way down the street, and I know what I did, I stopped and I did this and I did that. That's supposed to be in secret. Because by the time you finish telling all that you did, you already got your reward. So what we do, we should not do to be seen. Look at somebody and say, tell them, don't try to be seen. Come on, tell somebody, don't try to be seen. You want to be saved and live for God, just do it between you and God. And don't try to be. Well, Jesus goes on to say, verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine arm, do not sound a. Don't make a whole lot of noise about all that you're doing.
Oh, well, last year I gave $50,000 to the church.
Well, y'all know there ain't nobody here. I'm just making these numbers up, right?
I gave $50,000 to the church.
That's what you're doing between you and God. Why you got to go broadcast that? Why are you sounding a trumpet? Whose praise do you want? Who do you want to be, give up? Who do you want to impress? You can't impress God. Amen. He said, don't sound a trumpet before thee as the. So when you have somebody that's just constantly talking about what they've done, Jesus equates that to a what? Hypocrite. Amen. Doing the synagogues and in the street that they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their rewards. Amen. And verse 3 reads, but when thou doest thine arm, let not thy, don't let your left hand know what thy Thy right hand is what? What thy right hand is doing. Now, let's continue verse 4. That thine alms may be in. If you do something, just do it. You don't have to broadcast it. You don't have to let everybody know about it, because you're not doing it for men, but you're doing it as to who? As unto God. And thy Father which seeth in himself shall reward thee. Verse 5. And when thou prayest. Now first you're doing a kind deed, right? Jesus said, now when you pray. When you pray, do you just pray? Because I just want to have a good spiritual relationship between me and God. And do you pray a certain way until people, like I said, these ministers did when we came in the room, until somebody comes around, then all of a sudden your prayer is on another level. Who are you praying to? Who are you trying to impress? Alright, so he said, without prayers, thou shalt not be as the. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the street, that they may be trying to impress who? Men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in. God, listen. Don't try to do anything for people. The minute you start doing things for people, you have forgotten the real meaning of salvation. Anything we do should first be to what? God. Our prayer, our praise, our worship. It's not to an individual, but it ought to be to who? God. So if I'm in, let's just say for the sake of just creating the situation, if it's two or three of us in here and we just, you come in and you can hear the church mics running across the floors because it's not enough people, so we just pray a quiet prayer. But then if it's 20 people in here, we pray loud. Who are you praying to? God. So if it's one, if it's two, or if it's three, we should pray the what? Same way, because our prayer is not to impress people, but it's to impress who? God. Because the scripture says your Father seeth in secret. But then because you're doing it for the right reason, God said, now I'm going to reward you openly. Yes. Amen. So he's talking about first giving, doing kind things, now prayer. He said, the Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7. Verse 16. Yes. First we deal with alms, now we're dealing with prayer. Now we're going to deal with fasting. Right? Jesus said there's some kind of coming out by what? Prayer and when you pray and fast the right way. Right? There's some people that go on a fast, they say, oh yeah. And they announce there, but I'm going on a 60-day fast. I'm creating situation. Y'all know ain't nobody on a 60-day fast. Right? So don't say I'm picking on you. Oh, I'm going on a 60-day fast. Why are you gonna tell somebody what you're doing? What's the purpose? Who are you trying to impress? I think when Moses went up to the mountain and he fasted those 40 days and 40 nights, Moses said, all right, Israel, I want y'all to stay down here. I'm about to go up here in the mountain. I'm going to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm sure he didn't do that. And the scripture says in Matthew, the 4th chapter, it says that Jesus, after he came up from being baptized and receiving the Holy Ghost, it says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Right? I'm sure when he came up, he said that, y'all wait here, I'll be back. I'm going to go fast for a little while. I'm going to go fast for 40 days and 40 nights. These are our examples that we should follow. Stop telling everybody what you're going to do and just do it between you and who? Because nobody can reward you but who? But God, amen? Moreover, when you fast, be not as the of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto. He's dealing with why we do what we do. Why do you want to have a good reputation with men when God sees and knows your heart? When God understands the motives behind what you're doing, why do you want to try and impress somebody else instead of trying to please God? Amen? Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Why? That thou appear. You know, some people are on the good. Now, not y'all, but I've seen people before when they're on the fast, when they're on a real long fast, you see them again. Is everything all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Why you acting like that? Oh, I'm on the fast. I mean, I can understand if it's the 40th day, but you just started on the first day? The Bible says, whatever we do, we should do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not unto who? Unto men. We need to stop trying to impress people. You know, I want to dress like they're trying to get me to get certain clothes and stuff like this because this is the style. I don't care about the style. I just want to be clean and be like Jesus. I don't have to follow no trends. I don't have to follow no trends. My wife is trying to work on that, but she's having a battle. Y'all can tell we have a battle. You know, because you know what they said, I guess the style now when you buy your suit, your pants are supposed to hang down to your knees. I mean way down to your ankles. Not your pants, your jacket. So pants, when they got the, I don't mind it. I mean, I'm just saying this is just me. I'm not going to go by and say, oh, Pastor, you kind of old-fashioned. I just want to be saved and be clean. I'm not trying to be fit in the mold of everybody else. So I don't have to have my jacket all the way down to my hands, my knees. Right? I just want to be clean.
Thank huh? Jesus.
Oh, okay, thank you. But we can't keep trying to impress people. What has the church become? But more like a fashion show. Everybody's trying to outdo somebody else. You know, they tried to buy me some suits, children, and wife. They buy me suits. Sometimes they buy me stuff, but when they look at it, I take it back. Somebody's going too far. But you know, sometimes, you know why? Because I don't want to be in the styles. I just want to, if my heart is clean, that's good enough. Because I can have on the prettiest clothes and have a dirty spirit. And an ugly heart. You know what those clothes do? Nothing. So I'd rather be clean on the inside than to try and fit the mold in everybody else said on the outside. I can laugh at throughout the years, and they don't bother me at all. Because I'm my own person. Right? Within certain criteria. You have to fit within certain criteria. Right? So I don't worry about what people say or think. You know what? I just want my heart to be right. Because when I leave this earth, and I go to be with God, all my clothes, all my fashions don't mean anything. The only thing God is going to judge is my heart. So I'd rather be right in my heart. Verse 7 of Galatians 6 read, be not deceived. Why? You can't trick God. You cannot mock God. You can't just do what you want to do and say, God, you're going to accept it because of me. Say, God will not be mocked. Why? For whatsoever man so it then shall he also reap. Right? So you would think that would be good enough, but then the Lord said, no, I want you to fully understand what I'm saying. So he goes on to say, for he that what? Soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Then he goes on to say, and be not. Sometimes we get so tired of doing good because we just don't seem like we're getting the results that we want. He said, listen, God won't forget anything you do, because the scripture said God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So God won't be mocked. You know, so I can't come to church 40 days, I've been fasting for 40 days, and what people don't know is I sneak a little food in between every other day. And then you come to the church, yeah, I've been fasting. But God said, wait a minute, be honest. You don't see people. God said, wait a minute. You've been fasting 40 days, what you do that Big Mac yesterday? Right? So I said, oh, yeah, God, I'm just so famished. When a person fasts, they usually lose. How you have a 40-day fast and you gain weight? Yeah, I'm on a 40-day fast. Yeah, but you're about 10 pounds heavier than when you started. Well, this is what I said. God won't be mocked. You can't play with God and act spiritual and act so godly. God sees. He said, wait a minute. The very thing that you sow, it's what you're going to read. All right? So he said, now, whatever you do, even though you don't seem like you're getting the spiritual results you should get, don't be weary and well doing. Keep doing what you've been doing right. If nobody ever notices, if nobody ever says anything, he said, don't get tired of doing right, for in due season, you're going to what? God just said, these are promises. God's divine promises, the devil in hell can't change it. A person can't change it. Nobody can change it. So keep doing good. Be not weary in what? Well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you. All right, let's go to Isaiah the 58th chapter. Isaiah the 58th chapter. We cannot impress God. Amen. I believe we went over on Sunday, we talked about how the Pharisees and the religious hierarchy of those days began to deride Jesus. That means to mock him. It means to taunt him. You know, I read one of the greatest examples of mocking God, you know, and I think we can all identify with this. It said to mock God is like a person on a high-speed chase with a policeman chasing him. But then when they cross over the jurisdiction for where the police can go, the police has to stop. This is how you mock God. This is how you taunt God. This is how you play with God. Because we think, wait, now I'm too far. God can't see me now. So when they go past the jurisdiction, they have to stop. The person gets over the line and gets out and plays and points fingers, making fun of the police. Why? Because they can't come any. That is to mock. That is how you taunt. Because you are past your jurisdiction. There's no jurisdiction that can confine God. So he said, when you're mocking God, you're saying, God, you got to stop right there. You can't go no further. When God is in control of all things. So don't mock God. What if you do? Amen. Isaiah 58, chapter verse 1, read, cry loud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. This is what the watchman on the wall is supposed to do. We're not supposed to. Now, you are supposed to feel good when you come to church, but you also should feel right. Right? If you know that your life is out of harmony with God, we're not supposed to make you feel good. We're supposed to make you want to be right. Amen. So he said, cry loud, spare not. He says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did. God said, you know what? You're just going through the motions. You come to church all the time. like you're seeking me, and yet you want to be doing what is right. And forsook not the ordinance of their God, and they ask of me the ordinance of justice, they take delight in approaching God. Now he's talking about these are the ones that the pastor and the preacher's crying out. And the people are here, but they keep coming to church. They act like they want to do the right thing, and they act like they want to be close to God. But let's continue to see what he says. Verse 3 says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest it? They said, Lord, we keep fasting before you, and you aren't even impressed with how we are fasting. We're fasting. We're doing this. He said, Lord, we're not impressed with our fast. He said, wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou? He said, Lord, we've been doing all this stuff. We've beaten our bodies. We're doing it. He said, Lord, you're not even noticing what we are doing. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact your labors. He said, you fast just to please yourself. And then you exact labor. This is the way where you oppress others in what they're doing. Unfortunately, there are a lot of churches and ministries that they do all this spiritual stuff, and then they're working people to death, and people aren't even getting anything out of it. This is what he's talking about. He said, you're fasting, you're praying, you're doing all this, and then you're oppressing the laborers. This is in church. Verse 4 says, behold, ye fast for strife and... He said, what good is your fasting when all you do is fighting and grumbling and struggling? He said, what? Wait a minute, you're a fast, right? I heard somebody say, not too long ago, if I knew years ago you were fast like you were fast the way you were acting, I would have called you the record. Well, we'll just leave that alone, right? But he said, wait a minute, you're fasting and praying and all you're doing is fighting and arguing all the time? God said, what kind of fast is it? When you fast, you're supposed to have a different spirit. So, somebody said, yeah, I've been fasting for the last 10 days, and nobody can go in the same room with me. God said, wait a minute, I'm just curious, what kind of fast is this? You know, you ever see some people that pray all day, all night, and the first time you say something to them, you like shrink back into a shell because of how they respond? You say, wait, what kind of prayer? Well, this is what God is dealing with here. He said, yes, you're fasting, but you're not fasting for the right reason, because in your fast, you keep fighting and arguing and acting ugly. God said your fast is doing you no good, because you're fasting for the wrong reason. Y'all with me? Y'all get quiet. Come on, I ain't talking about nobody, all right? Stay with me, though. We're talking about people that like to go through all the motions to impress people. That how can you talk to the God Almighty that knows all things and say, Lord, I'm fasting, you don't even notice it. I'm doing this. Why don't you take knowledge of what I'm doing? Because God sees not as God. Man looks at what we do, but God looks at the motives behind what we do. God looks at the motives behind what we do. He said, you fast and all you do is fight and debate. Debate means you're just constantly arguing. What good is your fast doing? Say, ouch. See, something. That's what he's saying. Wait a minute. What? So you fasting and you just keep fighting and arguing and debating? But you're fasting to God? Your fast is supposed to bring out a humble spirit. Your fasting is supposed to create a spiritual awareness. When Jesus came back from fasting, the first thing he met was the devil. So as we fast and pray, the devil said, wait a minute, I don't want your fasting and prayer to be effective, so I'm going to cause a stir. I'm going to make you act in a way that's going to make you nullify all that you're fasting and praying. I'm going to make you act in a way that you're going to receive God's wrath and not God's blessing. And this is what he's dealing about. You're doing this, you're so holy, you're so righteous, you're so godly, and yet you act so ugly. The Bible said, bitter and sweet water cannot come out of the what? Same fountain. You all with me?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Bitter and sweet water can act one way with one sin and act a whole ugly way with the other. How do you get help?
Y'all say, wait a minute, you're going too far now. I'm just going to go as far as we can. All right, y'all stay with me.
We're doing all of this for God, but we're doing it against what God has told us to do. And then at the end we say, well, I've done all this. God is not, he's not impressed. Because God is looking behind the motives, behind what we do. Amen? He goes on to say, is it such a fast that I have? God said, I did not require this kind of fasting from you. I did not choose this kind of fasting. A day of a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head, such as a bulrush, and spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day? He said, even though you're doing all this, that is not acceptable unto God. God is not pleased with it because you're doing it to be seen. God is looking behind the motives behind what we do. When I come to church, I come to church for God. I don't care what anybody else does, I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for God. If I volunteer to do something in church, I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for God. Because the psalmist said, what shall I render? Any God been good to anybody? He said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? All the good things that God has done to me, what am I going to give God back? He said, I'll just take the cup of salvation. And I will call on the name of the Lord. But verse 5, he says, is this such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as the bull rush? He said, this is not acceptable unto God. Verse 6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of? God said, wait a minute. Now, when I call this kind of fast, I don't expect you to act contrary. How are you going to be fasting to loose the bands of wickedness means that people are acting a certain way and you're responding to the way they act by acting just like them in your fast. You're fasting to get the advantage over the flesh. The reason we fast is we afflict our soul to get the advantage over the flesh and to tell the flesh, you won't dominate me. You tell the flesh, you're not going to push me to do things contrary to God. So I'm fasting to afflict my soul to get the advantage over the flesh, but then I'm acting completely out of the flesh. God said, that is not the fast that I've called for you. Amen? He said, I'm calling a fast for you to display righteousness. This is not the fast, he says. Don't do the heavy burden to the left the oppressed, go free, that ye break every yoke. God is dealing with a mindset. You call for fasting and praying, but you're keeping the people in bondage. God said, no. That's not the kind of fast that I called, amen? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? He said, if you're going to fast the right way, show kindness. Show consideration. Show love. Do it in a way that God is glorified. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. So you're fasting, you're praying, you're seeking God, and you see someone in need that you can help. Now, that, we can't help everyone. But someone is in need, not in want. It's a difference between being in want and being in need. You can see that they're in need, and you're humbling and fasting, and you say, well, I'll just pray for you, brother. But you're in a position where you can help. I will go to some scriptures, but it takes too long if we go to those scriptures. When you see somebody and you say, I pray, you say, what is that going to do? Right? You're in a position to help somebody, but let's stay on course with what we're dealing with, all right? It says, thou come in that thou hide not thyself from thine own. They say, you're fasting, you're praying, and your own family's in need. And you're in a position to help them, and you only help your own. God said, wait a minute, what is the purpose of your salvation? What's the purpose of your salvation? All these people in need, you're praying, you're fasting and all you're doing is hoarding and you can help somebody else. God said, that's not the kind of fast that I am calling. In your fast, be able to help somebody else. And it, as you're fasting and praying, don't be like 10 rattlesnakes on a super hot day. What do the rattlesnakes do when it's heat? They bite. God said, I don't want my people to act like that. Your fast is supposed to bring out the what? God in you. Not ugly, not contrary. Amen. Verse 8 says, then shall thy light spring forth as the. Somebody said, why has my situation not changed? Because you're just going through the motions. You're not doing it with the right motives. You're not doing it with the right spirit. You're not doing it with the right heart. But then you get mad at God. That means, listen, anytime we feel as though we've done everything and God has let us down, you're pointing a finger accusation against God. You're mocking God. You say, God, I've done everything you told me to do, and look at you. Now, we don't say it, but this is how we act, right? Look at God, you did all this. Look, and God, you know, I ain't going to church. Because God, you should have. God said, wait a minute, I didn't do that. That was a man. What we have to learn to do in church is differentiate between what's a man and what is. What's God? We keep putting God in a box. And so God can't do anything. He said, but listen, when you do it the right way, God said, I'll bring forth your light as the noonday. God said, I will bring blessings upon you when you do it what? The right way. Amen? Let's go down to verse. Let's keep in the same verse. He said, thine health shall spring forth how? Speedily. God said, well, when you do it right, this is what I will do. He said, your change won't come in a long time. God said, now when you go through fasting and praying and doing it right, he said, your situation is going to change how? Speedily. Not in 100 years, not in 200 years, but how? Speedily. And actually, God, that ain't nothing else going to be around. I don't think y'all going to be around here in 200 years, you know? Right? Who's anybody know anybody that's 201 years old? Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall what? When you do it right. He said, then you're going to call, and God's going to answer. What are you doing? I'm praying for the right reason and the right way. I'm fasting the right reason and the right way. I'm not allowing other people to influence me to go contrary to God. He said, then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Why? Because I'm doing it God's way. I'm not doing it for any man. I'm not doing it to impress anyone. I'm doing it for God. He said, now will you get it from your heart? That's why the Bible says that. Then did you seek after me with what? All your. A lot of us are seeking God, but we won't give him our all. We seek God when we feel like it. He said, then did you seek after me with all your heart, then shall ye find me. Then God said, then you're going to call and I will answer. And thou shalt cry, and he will say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking, he said, stop accusing God. Putting forth the what? You ever see people like to just? You ever see people like to point? I'm not talking about, you know, like the tagging. See, like the tagging says, this just happened. I'm talking about church folks. Always want to point the finger, always bring an accusation. God said, wait a minute, will you leave all that alone? And just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God said, then I'm going to exalt you in due season. Will you do it how? Unto God. Verse 10 said, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee. Somebody said, my life is out of whack. What are you giving God? Why? How are you giving to God? When you do it right, these are God's promises. He's going to call, and I will answer. He said, I will deliver you, and it won't be a long time, but I'll do it speedily. if you do it with the right, sometimes we just, church, we get so used to God, we just think God will accept anything we give him. And then if God don't accept it, we get upset like God has done something wrong. Stop trying to impress God with all of our outward display. God is looking beyond that. He said to me, but fed thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. So all those places in your life have been deserted and messed up for years. When you get it right, God said, now he's going to build those things back up. All that stuff has been wasted. That's in your life, you're like, Lord, is it going to ever change? God said, when you get it right, he's going to start building those places up. I'm going to restore all of that stuff that decayed, the worms and the pomegranate worms have destroyed. God said, I'm going to restore it. When you get it right, you start doing it with the right reasons and the right motives. Amen? And thou shalt raise up the foundation of many. God said, listen, just do it right and see what I will do in your behalf. Amen? And thou shalt be called the repair of the restorer of a path. God said, you know what, just do it right. And then this is what I'm going to do. When we live for God, do God, do the right thing, we don't have to do anything. That's why Jesus told me, he said, God told me, he said, just be still and see the salvation of God. Be still. You don't have to do anything. You've done everything God asked you to do. Now be still and see what God is going to do. God said, I'm going to restore. I'm going to rebuild. I'm going to heal. I'm going to do all of that. He said, all those generations have been messed up. God said, I'm going to fix them if you live right. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
You're going to say in the 13th verse, he said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing. God said, if you do this, don't do what? The conflict to us getting God's blessing is who gets in the way? We get in the way. That's why Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him what? First. Not second. Let him first deny himself. Then after you deny yourself, yes, there's going to be some troubles, there's going to be some trials, but pick up your cross and follow me when you feel like it.
Thank you.
We're supposed to follow that one?
Yeah.
Somebody said, I do it on Monday, but not on Tuesday. I got something to do on Tuesday. Maybe I do it Monday, Tuesday, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I got to take some time off. God said, follow me how? Daily. Now, that don't mean that we have to come to church every day, but every day we should live for God. You can't take time off living for God. You got to live for God every day. He said, follow me daily. Then are we his disciples indeed. Verse 14 said, then shalt thou delight thyself. A lot of times we say, I delight in God. This word delight means, you ever eat some food that's really good? I don't know why they use these kind of words, but this word means to delight, means you are and move over food like it is the best. That's what it means, really. Ah, ooh, that's, ooh. Not dirty, not complicated. Too many spices, you kill me. But this delight means you are and move over it like it is the best. It said, that's how we're supposed to do God. It's in another illustration they use, it's like a fine piece of silk. You treasure it. Not because of what it's going to give you, but just the appeal of what it is. You get some silk or something that's really a fine jewelry, you're like, wow. Right? That's how we're supposed to delight ourselves in God. Not for what it's going to give us, but for what it represents. So a lot of times we are in awe of God because we're trying to get something. He said, this is like me, you are in awe of God for what he represents, but not what we can get from him. Amen? He said, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and when you delight yourself in God, read next verse with me. I will what? Who is this? I will, who is that? God. When you delight yourself in God like you ought to, somebody say, you don't know the trouble I've seen, where is your delight? God, there are certain promises in God. He said, be not deceived, God will not be mocked. If you have been doing what you should do, God assures you, you want to reap what you have sown. So don't get weary. Somebody said, I know a lot of people, they said, I've done this for years, but I've had all I can stand. I can't stand. Who's that? Popeye, we got some Popeye shakes. I thought I'd throw that out there to get a smile. Popeye said, I had all I can stand. Listen, God would never put more on us than we're able to bear. We need to start bearing up under it. And that goes in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I only have 5 minutes left, so I will stay on time. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and the first verse. Amen? We're talking about trying to have God as a delight. The scripture says, I believe Psalm 34, 37, verse 4 said, delight thyself in the Lord. When your delight is in the Lord, God said he will give. You don't have to work for him. All you have to do is keep God first. Delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires. You don't have to go around telling everybody what you want. Just put it in your heart. And God will manifest it when your delight is in God. But the reason God doesn't give us what's in our heart is because we go around broadcasting all that we want God to do. God said, just let it be where? In your heart. Keep some self-pride. You know what, God, I put some self in my heart and my mind that I want you to do. I'm not going to let anybody know about it until you do it, then I'm going to have a testimony. I don't have to tell nobody anything. I'm not going to take my woes, my problems. I'm just going to delight myself in the Lord. And then when you bring forth my righteousness as a new thing, when I see the change, I know that it's God. Can we say praise the Lord? All right, I'm going to close here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 1. Amen. Let me just get it quickly. Ty, you get that for me. Your Bible is bigger than mine. Paul writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of and have not, this is real love. Now, a lot of people love, and it's fake. Fake love is, if you don't give me what I want, I'm not going to give you nothing. Real love is this. Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he, that's what real love is, not what I can get. But real love is, God so loved the world. This is what this charity means. That he gave his only begotten son. What was different? He gave his only son. Real love is not based on condition. I love you if you do for me. If you don't do for me, I will do me. That's right. Anybody else want to say that? Do me. That ain't real love. Real love is unconditional. Real love is I love because I know that's what God requires of me. And I don't love based on what you get. You can have like 20 demons all lined up in a row, I'm going to still do right. Because I'm doing it as unto God. So he says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass horn. He said, you know, you're just making a whole bunch of noise and nobody knows nothing about you. Why? Because the motives are wrong. And though I have the gift of, somebody said, man, that guy can preach and then can't wait to tell somebody else. God's a way. I'm just trying to tell you, this ain't how God works. I have the gift of prophecy and understand all and all. Wow, that guy knows his Bible, knows everything about everything. And the next time you see me, he's up there telling somebody off. Can we say that ain't God? That just ain't God. God don't act like that. And though I have so that I can remove mountains and have not. He said, I am. A whole lot of people got all these spiritual qualifications, but don't have an ounce of love. God said, you are, I said, now, can I just borrow this and say, you ain't nothing. You English teachers correct later. But right now, you ain't nothing. Because you're just going through the motion. Verse 3, we're not going to go through all this. He said, bestow all, Lord, I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my, he said, well, I gave the ultimate sacrifice. But why did you do it? Did you do it for God, or did you do it to be? When you're giving all, and you think when somebody's giving all that goods to feed the poor, everybody says, wow, that is so humanitarian. That is so great. And you giving your body, you giving your body the ultimate sacrifice? He said, and have not, it profiteth me
nothing.
Then just said, this is how God sees charity. This is how God sees love. Not, man, this is not, I don't care what Webster, Oxford,
yeah,
none of the rest of them say about love. This is how God defines love. We in church, who saved us?
God
saved us. Who's keeping us? God's keeping us. Who makes a way for us every day? Then who should we honor? It's sort of like parents, when they've done so much for their children, they say, after all I've done, just think of this, after all I've done, say, why would you treat me like that? Well, this is what God said, after all I've done. Why would you treat me? But he said, charity, who can define how long is? Can anybody define how long is? You know, he said, I've had enough. I'm not going to take it much. He said, start some charity. We're not talking about the definition that the world has for love. We're talking about what God says for love. He said, this kind of love, it'll suffer long. What else about it? It is what? Somebody say, ouch. We're talking about, say, you don't know what they did. Say, but you're supposed to show love. Right? You know, but you don't know how they acted. God didn't say, it's conditional. This love is what? Unconditional. So no matter what they act, God expects you to still act like a child of God. So you're supposed to still be. And I'm learning through my years. I'm doing really good. Even with my grandkids, little kids and all. Like my wife said, oh, those kids got you wrapped around their finger. I'm just being kind. Okay, they got me wrapped up. All right. What I'm saying, you know what? Years ago, I used to be rough and tough, but my father raised us that way. But that's not, the longer I live, I think you were more bees with honey. There was all that other stuff. Right? So God wants us to reflect more love. John said, God is what?
Love.
God is love. If we're going to be like God, we have to show
love.
I'll do it for you if you do it unconditional. If you don't ever do anything, I'm going to still do what is right. Amen. I'm going to finish here. Charity, not full of all kind of jealousies. I don't want to talk to him because look what God did for me. No, that ain't love. You know what I'm saying? Are we talking about, we're trying to be, get God's favor. But we're trying to get God's favor acting like ourselves. Or acting like what the world calls the norm. Charity, you know, God said, don't go up. You want my favor? Condescend to men of lower esteem. Let others exceed, let him esteem others better than themselves. You don't want yourself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself. I'm a child of God. I don't care if I'm in the business world. I don't care if I'm in the mall. I don't care if I'm in the shopping line and somebody cut in front of me. I'm still a child of God. Years ago, I can't for the sake of not discerning who the person is. I remember somebody in line fighting because somebody cut in front of them. Let's say this on Saturday night. Don't most people show up on Saturday? They didn't even get church shouting on Sunday. God said, you're not supposed to act unseemly, don't act contrary to God. Well, if you knew what they did to me, God, there's no exclusionary clauses. God does not give us an exclusion for acting ugly. You know, sometimes, no, let's keep going. Seeking God is not easily. We're talking about acting like who? God. That's not easy for all. Thinking, these are things, somebody said, well, and this is reported by, you know, this is a self, y'all ever take a self-test in school? You grade your own paper. You grade your own spirituality. I don't have to judge it. You know yourself better than anybody. This is your self-test. All right. Now, if you get more than three or four wrong, you got some areas to come up in. If you get one wrong, you still got something to what? Work on. Because the Bible says the path of the just, we're supposed to be like a shining light. We're supposed to shine. I wonder if someone looks at our light, is it diminishing or is it increasing? When the world looks at us, we're always on display. Are we decreasing or are we rejoicing not? Somebody said, I'm so glad they got just what they deserve. That is not God. I've heard so many church people, not here, but in the past, say they got just what they deserve. We're supposed to pray for one another. When somebody messes up, you're not supposed to rejoice in their fall. You're not supposed to rejoice when they mess up. That is not God. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Amen. You go on and say, it does what? Bear. Well, okay, bear means you put up with a whole lot of stuff. But you can pick and choose what you want to put up with, according to the scripture, right? Don't we pick and choose? It says you're supposed to bear some things. Bear only the things you like. Bear the things that you have in your list of things that you will accept and will not accept. He said, bear all things. Does what? Believe all things. Hope all things. That's far enough. Now tonight, after we've heard this, who are we trying to impress? Is it God who sees and knows us better than anyone? Let me just go to one other scripture. I know I'm all over time. Forgive me. Go to Psalm 139. I'm just going to do a couple of quick verses here. I'll go real fast. I won't add this and I won't add anything to it, but we're just trying to get ourselves on track to be what God wants us to be. All right, Psalm 139 says, oh Lord, thou hast what? Every day God is searching us. Every single day God searches us. He said, you search me and you have known me and you're what? Go to the next one. Thou knowest my down sitting, my understanding of my thoughts, God knows. Go to the next one. He says, thou compass my path and my lying down. We're going to finish here and I'll acquaint it with as we all stand. God knows all of our ways. We can fool one another, but of a certain. We cannot fool God. Tonight, who are we trying to impress? As the elders, the ministers come forward. In doing what we do, are we doing it out of charity? Are we doing it just to please ourselves? It's time for us as individuals to have a real gut check. The scripture says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. We don't need to just keep coming to church and doing us.
Thank you,
And then tell God, you got to accept it because this is all I'm going to give you. And expect that our situation is going to change. The Bible says we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt us in due season, elder gifts. Hallelujah.
Thank you.